All right. It's time for our final panel of the day, legalization and public activism. I would like to introduce our moderator, Jamie Shaw. Jamie is both a former director and former staff at the BC Compassion Club Society, where her work was comprised of various roles, including communications, beginning in 2012. Jamie has also served three terms on the board of directors at the Canadian Association of Medical Cannabis Dispensaries, CAMCD, 2.5 of those as president. Her successful lobbying in Vancouver led not only to the city implementing licensing for dispensaries under prohibition, but also to the creation of a second class of licensing based heavily on the BCCS model. I apologize for that, Jamie. And requiring membership in CAMCD. She's also the co-founder of the first Canadian chapter of Women Grow in Vancouver and a writer for the cannabis resource website, Canleo. Sorry,
Jamie. That's okay.
There we go. Please welcome Jamie and our panel.
Thank you. My panel looks to be a little light at the moment, but I do see Kirk. So we will start with Kirk Tusa. Exactly. Kirk Tusa is a barrister and advocate for law reform. His primary practice areas are medical cannabis regulatory compliance, cannabis criminal defense, and strategic litigation. In addition to the daily practice of law, Kirk sits on the boards of the British Columbia Civil Liberties Association, Normal Canada, MAPS Canada, and the Sensible BC Society. Kirk has written and spoken extensively on issues related to drug policy. You're not going to take a seat?
Oh, yeah.
It's a panel discussion.
Oh, it's a panel. I thought we'd
Well, minutes. You may have the whole time. I don't say. So Kirk has written and spoken extensively on issues related to drug policy, privacy, religious freedom, and criminal justice policy. He has testified several times before the House of Commons and the Senate and litigated the first medical cannabis case to be heard by the Supreme Court of Canada. Kirk Tusa.
Dana, bravo, Kirk.
Next, we have Jody Emery. Jody is a political activist, public speaker, and longtime marijuana legalization advocate. Together with her famous activist husband, Mark Emery, who's not sitting next to her, she owns and operates Cannabis Culture Stores, Cannabis Culture Vapor Lounges, Cannabis Culture News, and Pot TV. Jody is invited to speak at a variety of conferences and rallies in Canada and the United States, and is regularly featured in mainstream media stories about cannabis, prohibition, and legalization. She's also often asked to provide media commentary on other topics, including policing, taxation, war, and the environment. Jody has run for provincial office 4 times, including 2 BC Green Party election bids. In 2014, she campaigned for the Federal Liberal Party of Canada nominations in Vancouver East. Jody Emery. Next to Jody is Mark Hayden. He's an adjunct professor at the University of British Columbia and teaches in the UBC School of Population and Public Health, Nursing, Social Work, and Medicine. He is the chair of the board of the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, MAPS Canada. He has published on the issue of drug control policy in the following journals: Canadian Journal of Public Health, International Journal of Drug Policy, Encyclopedia of Public Health, Harm Reduction Journal, and Open Medicine. Mark has worked for the Addiction Services for 28 years and currently works with the Health Officers Council of British Columbia on their position papers on the issue of a regulated market for all currently illegal drugs. He was awarded the Queen's Diamond Jubilee Medal for drug policy reform work in 2013, and he's also someone I quote extensively whenever I'm talking to parent groups or school boards. Mark Hayden. Sorry, they're not sitting in order, so I'm going to go all over the script here. Next, we have Dana Larson. Dana is a well-known Vancouver cannabis activist, businessman, and politician. He served 10 years as editor of Cannabis Culture magazine, is the co-founder of the Vancouver Seed Bank, founder of the Vancouver Dispensary Society, and was vice president of the Canadian Association of Medical Cannabis Dispensaries. Larson was a founding member of the BC Marijuana Party and the Canadian Marijuana Party. In 2003, he joined the NDP, running as an NDP candidate in 2008. In 2011, he ran for leadership of the BC NDP. Larson is also founder and director of Sensible BC, Canada's largest grassroots cannabis reform organization. Larson is the author of several books, including Harry Harry Pothead and the Marijuana Stone, and the recently released Green Buds and Hash, as well as the Illustrated History of Cannabis in Canada. And last but certainly not least, we have Mark Emery, the world-famous Prince of Pot. He's known for his essential involvement in the marijuana movement since 1991. He helped make marijuana books and magazines legal in Canada, sold bongs and vaporizers when it was illegal to do so, created Cannabis Culture magazine, founded Pot TV, and campaigned in elections at all levels of government since 1980. Mark is most recognized for selling marijuana seeds to the United States and worldwide when no one else would, donating millions of dollars to political groups, election campaigns, court cases, and activist organizations. He was freed from the U.S. federal prison in 2014 after being extradited in 2010 and now operates his Cannabis Culture stores and vapor lounges, Cannabis Culture News, and Pot TV with his wife, Jody. Welcome, Mark. So this panel discussion is, the title of it is actually two topics and not one, and each topic probably could have had its own panel. And I could literally listen to each one of these people speak for at least 2 hours. So we're going to have a bit of a problem getting this into 20 minutes, especially when I'm going to start off by talking about my bracelet. One of the links in this bracelet says I read banned books, and all of the other links in it are cover art from books that have been banned. So to start off our conversation, Mark Emery, you were an activist as a bookstore owner in London, Ontario. So how would you define what is an activist?
An activist who does something on principle and without any personal gain. So I've always said you're not an activist if the police charge you and you try and defend yourself in court because you're looking after your own survival. You know, your own personal interest is very much at stake. So when we advocate for a principle that we do not gain by, that's activism. Now, sometimes we do gain by it. So, you know, that's when we have to question how much is self-interest and how much is actual public interest.
Thank you. That actually was going to ask this question later, but that leads into it fairly well. In cannabis, public activism and civil disobedience often go hand in hand with some sort of business or monetary gain. When Mark was sentenced to jail in the United States, Jody, you picked up both of those responsibilities, both the activism and the business. How do you see the balance between those two, between the business interests and activism?
Part of what inspired me about Mark's activism when I first found out about him was that he was not ashamed to say that you need to make money to make a difference. No charity can help anyone who's poor or hungry if they don't have money. No political party can do any political activity without donations and money. Everything we require from all of us here, we all pay rent, we buy food, we all need money. And money is required to do good, just as money is used to do evil. So money itself isn't bad, but a lot of people let their desire for money allow them to compromise their principles and morals to do bad things. But there are a lot of people in this world who have money and make money to give away, to do good with. Like all these social events and fundraisers, you know, these black tie events that I haven't ever been to and many of us haven't, but at least they're using money to give to something, and the something that gets the money needed it. So using a business to create money to finance a cause, but also to pay your own bills and keep a roof over your head, isn't something to be ashamed of. In fact, it's required. A broke activist can't really do much except use free public Wi-Fi to post on Facebook or to do something on their own with their limited means. But if you're not able to create funds and money, you're not going to actually be able to print handouts. You're not going to be able to buy medical marijuana to sell to people who need it. You're not going to be able to do anything without money. And that's why so many groups here are nonprofit, but they seek money because without that money, they can't do the good that they do. So business is required for activism to be successful. And a lot of people find their own personal freedom and liberty through being self-employed and creating a business and hiring others. For myself, running our lounge, I have 36 employees in our lounge, store, media, and seeing some of them come up with their own little side business, and they're making money selling a product, and they're branding, and they're partnering with friends, and that's a wonderful thing. And wouldn't we all be so lucky to benefit from the economic freedom that marijuana can provide us all? and which is also required at this time to change the laws so we can have that freedom.
Thank you. Yeah.